Hello and welcome to the NRL podcast. Zach Bailey here, joined by our NRL.com expert, Jamie Soward, as I am every week. But Jamie, there's an imposter this week.
Yeah, we do have an imposter. It's our man, Michael Chambers, has come in. Michael, nice to have you.
Thank God I'm back. You've missed me. I've listened to the show.
What do you mean back? You haven't been on it.
You're right, actually.
With us two yet.
Well, I have been.
Now, you've been toiling hard in intra-super premiership, a little bit like David Nofaluma, in and out of form, but apparently you've done enough to regain selection this week. What have you done in ISP to regain selection?
To be honest, it's not a reflection of what I've done. It's more a reflection of what you guys haven't done. So
okay,
the bosses have decided to get me in, spice it up a little bit.
What do you make of that, Sowie?
Oh, look.
Ratings aren't going to go down surely this week.
Look, I'm happy for him to come on as long as he remembers that it's he's on the wing and, you know, just count the tackles.
He's here to count the tackles.
But let's get started. What have we got?
All right, let's go through it. I want to look at the tips from last week.
Yep.
Jamie Soward, you started last week in sixth. You're up to fourth. You had five tips last week, which is pretty good. Michael Chamis, he's up to third.
Yeah.
Flying.
No, joking. You're down to fifth. Jamie's ahead of you now.
I'm flying.
Yeah, so you beat me in tipping this week, so that's, I'm just going to leave that there, Jamie, because normally it's the other way around. I found it interesting in your power rankings that are on our site every week. Dragons knocked off the top spot.
Yeah, I just felt that last week they had a real chance to really stamp their authority in the competition. They play a South side without Sam Burgess. They're at Colgrove Friday night. And Chamis, you've been a Dragons fan, you'd know that Dragons Friday night, they can run up a big score pretty quickly. And I've been involved in those games. So they jump out to a big lead. Then all of a sudden, they find themselves holding on for a game. Compared to the Warriors against the Cowboys, you know, it would have been easier for the Warriors to go back home. The hype starts to get real and then find themselves beaten by the Cowboys. They actually got the hype, you know, played up to the hype. So I had the Warriors going to number one in the power rankings, Dragons number two.
And Chamis, your weekly column this week, third-party agreements.
Yeah, look, it's a topic of discussion at the CEO's conference on the Gold Coast. They formed a TPA committee to sort of overhaul the current system. Now, the current system basically says that the clubs have to be at arm's length from any third-party arrangement. So, look, it's a bit murky. It's an issue in the game at the moment where we have players getting money from external players and clubs not supposed to be involved. Jamie, you've been around the game a long time. Is it as clear-cut as that? Are we at risk at the moment of continuing to muddy the waters if we don't change that and allow clubs to potentially source their own sponsorship deals for players, or do you like it the way it is?
Oh, I think you've got to be careful because we're only in the game for a certain amount of time, and I'm happy for the NRL to have a cap on those third-party agreements, whether it be $2 million. You know, but the clubs can go out and source that $2 million. Like, what's, you know, if we come to work, if all of us come to work, we're all on 100,000, but, you know, I'm the, obviously, you know, a little bit paid higher and you're paid higher than me, and someone from NRL says, righto, we can get Chamis an extra 50,000 if he helps us go out and get more money. Like, what's that hurting? I mean, I think it's you'd rather, if they do that and cap the 2 million, and then they can say, everyone's got 2 million, you've got up to 2 million to go out and source, I think you'd find clubs would go out and work a little bit harder for that money without having to say, righto, we're going to give you an extra 150, but we won't declare it because it's third party.
Yeah, well, and do you think you'll see, if they did make that change, players would be better financed because the club is trying to get more players, more third-party deals?
Yeah, and I think what you'll find is the NRL trying to make sure that third parties also are transferable. At the moment, we had an issue in the off-season with Maloney. The Panthers were trying to transfer Matt Moylan's TPA across to James Maloney, but it wasn't as simple as that. But under the new system they want these TPAs to be transferable, not linked to certain clubs. That's what some clubs are arguing. And now if we allow clubs to source their own sponsorship, then someone like an Israel Folau, who's on a massive deal with the ARU, they'll be able to come into a club, just say, let's just, for example, Parramatta are interested, they'll be able to source $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 for Israel Folau on top of the million he'll get. Now we're talking about the money that needs to lure someone of that calibre back to rugby league.
All right. Well, if you want any more details on that, make sure you read Michael Chambers' column on NRL.com. I wanted to... We all know rugby league is a game of two halves, quite literally, right? But I want to focus on two halves that have been in the spotlight this week at different points in their career. Jonathan Thurston, who is in his last year in the NRL, and Brodie Croft, who is in his second year in the NRL, but he's really his first year as a starting number seven. Let's look at Jonathan Thurston. The talk all started when Greg Alexander, who's a great player in his own right, did it all with Penrith and he's represented Australia and New South Wales, said that he feels as if Jonathan Thurston is showing signs that he could have gone too long. Jamie, when you were playing, do you know as a player when it is coming to an end and when you know you have gone or if you have gone too long?
Well, let's address Brandy's comments first. He feels like there was signs. He didn't. It wasn't as clean cut as that reporter made out to Jonathan Thurston. Like she just said, Greg Alexander said that you passed it, pretty much. He's just said that there's signs. And I think, look, we could sit down and watch signs of everyone over 31, 32 and say, well, you know, he doesn't look right. There's signs showing that he's slowing down. And that's what Jonathan Thurston is. But he's not the only person in that side. Michael Morgan is not playing well. Tau Malolo, the reigning Dally M medalist, is not playing well. So they have some issues themselves, the Cowboys. And Jonathan Thurston being a half and has so high standards that we expect him to be 3 points Dally M every week. Hasn't started the year great. We understand that. But he's got enough credit in the bank to be able to keep digging back into that. And I'm not willing at the moment to write him off in terms of Jonathan Thurston. Now, on the other side of that, you do know as a player. I went to England at the back end, and I'm not by any way comparing myself to anyone else in the game. I'm only talking about my experiences. And in England, and I spoke to one of my best mates, and I mentioned the fact that I wasn't enjoying it, and if I was going to go around again, something would have to drastically change. Now, my body had sort of given way to me because I wasn't a great trainer. I wasn't a good trainer at all. I hadn't looked after my body as well as some of these older guys have been, the Luke Lewis's, the Paul Gallons. So, but I'd started thinking about retirement and then also talking to some of my mates, my wife, about retirement. I was done. I think when you start thinking and talking about it, you're done. And as far as it being Jonathan Thurston's last year in the competition, I don't think that's 100% true. I think he will play, and how he plays this year will dictate whether he goes around again.
So you believe 2018 could not be, or maybe not
I think he
last
will,
year?
I repeat, I think he will play the year out, and his body will determine on whether he makes a decision to play again, much like Billy Slater did last year. If he feels like mentally he can go around again and get himself up for another pre-season, another year, week in, week out training, and they come within a game or make a grand final and don't win it, I think you'll see JT go around again.
Because other critics are saying, though, once you've said this is going to be my last year, which he has said publicly, that he said this will be his last year, because you know it's your last year, as you said, you started talking about with mates and whatever, could that be impacting JT's form?
Yeah, but it's the whole team at the moment. The Cowboys, they don't look happy. They look like they're struggling for form, which they are, and you know, there's other teams that have been winning and the other teams have been the talk of the town. We expected the Cowboys and the Roosters and Storm to dominate sort of three out of the top four, and they haven't been able to do that.
Chamis, given that Michael Morgan has just upgraded his contract and he's on the new $1 million man with North Queensland, is there any way that the Cowboys will be able to keep JT beyond 2018?
Oh, look, I don't...
Unless they move on a couple of other big names.
Well, exactly. And look, if JT stays on, I don't... He won't jeopardise the longevity of the club just to play on himself. Like, you got to remember, they gave up Caelan Ponga to keep some guys there at the club, and they're not going to be in a position to do that again where they want to keep JT for one more year just so they can get some success. But it's funny because JT at the start of the season, at the season launch, he said, "I don't want to be accused of playing one season too long." That were his words. But I think we're comparing, because what we saw last year from Cameron Smith, not many players in their early 30s can produce their best footy at the end of their career. Cameron Smith last year has given everyone this thought that JT may be able to do what he did. Like, he's 30-odd years old. Like, how can we expect JT to be the player of old? Because there were signs last year, if we be honest, like, before he got injured.
Last year.
Before he got... Cowboys went on a run just to sneak into the eight. Before he got injured, they were struggling. So then he got injured and Michael Morgan discovered his form. I'm not saying JT is ruining whatever combinations they've got there, but the signs were there before he got injured. And I think his injury brought the best out of Michael Morgan. And if he stayed there, who knows? They may not have made the eight at all.
Jamie, do you think the way the rugby league is going in terms of physicality of the game and these young guys that are giants, like you've got back rowers basically playing the centres and just running rampant.
Yeah.
Do you think that as a 35-year-old, you can no longer match it? Because like Luke Lewis last year, I know he's just come back from injury, but got, and even Paul Gallen, their numbers are down, like especially Gallen, his numbers are massively down from last year.
Well, Gale's playing less minutes this year. It's sometimes been asked to do a different role. He started the year off the bench for that first game against the Cowboys. I think, look, the game is so physical, and Jonathan Thurston's put his body on the line week after week. He takes the ball right into the line. I wasn't one of those players, so I didn't have that constant bashing of taking in, getting hit late. Jonathan's had that for so long in his career. My point is that he's earned the right to go out on his own terms. If he decides to play another year, then great for us, because we all get to sit back and watch him play another year. But I think he'll make a decision at the end of the year, and Chambers is right. He won't risk the longevity of the club, you know, for his own success. He'll go out on his own terms. If it's this year, then I'm happy for him. He's had a magnificent career. But, you know, the age, I think, is coming down because these kids are getting so bloody big. You know, you look at, like, McLean, even like Isaiah Yeo this week will go play in the centres, and he'd be 105, 106 kilos of just muscle. Like, there's no old school. They're all athletes, you know, that play footy as well. So I think the age will definitely come down to sort of around that 34. Yeah, the Cameron Smiths, the Paul Gallons are really one of a kind sort of players.
Did you hate going to training towards the end when you realised that the end was?
I hated training all the time. Yeah. I didn't like training.
A bit like Chambers, he doesn't like training here. He just loves to gloat when he's on camera.
See, the thing with training for me, right, was after we won the comp in 2010 and when Wayne left at the end of 2011, I found training really boring. I needed my brain stimulated first thing in the morning in a session. So I hated going through leg kicks and all that shit, you know, that you have to do or supposedly have to do to get warm. I get that, but even for a game, I was ready to go before I came out to do the kicking warm-up. Like, I was out the back, I was in a little bit of a lather before I came out to warm up again. So when Wayne left, probably, you know, in that sort of two-year period before the Dragons sort of got rid of me, that training for me was really boring. I knew what was coming and really predictable, so I had to try and, you know, get over that. And then I go to the Panthers, and then 2014, I was sort of back in Ronnie Palmer, so he knew how he worked, and he ticks over. But, you know, if I ever become a coach, I think it's about stimulating the brain first thing in the morning and trying to get something a little bit different, because training can get tedious at times, and we understand that sometimes you do need to do those things, but I think there's other times there's a chance to do something a little bit different.
Given JT's been in the game for so long, and you said you used to rock up at training knowing that it was getting harder each week, he's done everything in this game, and he's not going to play any more rep footy. Could he be suffering from the same thing?
Nah, these guys are one-of-a-kind players. Like, it's embarrassing to even have Jonathan Thurston and Jamie Soward in the same sentence, but I just think he's under the spotlight at the moment because they're going bad as a team. But he's copying more of the spotlight because his standards that he's shown and we expect of him are so high.
Are we going to see a JT masterclass against the Bulldogs, do you think?
Oh, 100%. Chalk it down.
This is the rocket he needs.
It's must-see viewing. Nah. It's must-see viewing this week, JT.
Do you think there's any correlation between the uncertainty around Paul Green to the way the team's playing?
Maybe. I think when your coach is... I mean, when Wayne sort of left the Dragons, you know, it was sort of done. Like, he just did it like a Band-Aid. You know, he was going to go and that was it. I mean, the time we had together was great, but he just moved on. When you win a premiership, you know, everyone's probably expected Paul Green to sign. It's almost from an outsider looking in, and I don't know Paul Green, and from everything, he's been a fantastic coach, but it's almost like he's waiting for an opportunity for Brisbane to ask him. I know that's probably might be totally misread, but you'd know more than me. Like, it just sort of seems like, why wouldn't you re-sign at the club you won a premiership with when you've got so much talent coming through in terms of Tamaro Martin, Morgan, you've signed Taumalolo to a big deal. Why isn't he signing?
He's playing hardball to get more money, Chambers.
Yeah, but also, look, I don't pretend to know Paul Green's thought process, but I just find it hard. Sometimes coaches, when you've had success at a club, do you not feel the need to move on and achieve something different? Like, Paul Green's won a comp for the Cowboys. Oh, no, I'm saying everyone's mindset is different. But
Craig Bellamy said that he said that seeing these young guys coming through the ranks, like, and you know, developing Addo Carr's, Vunivalu's.
He didn't develop Addo Carr, he bought Addo Carr.
Okay, well, Vunivalu's.
Vunivalu's, Corabidi, you know, all
they gave him
guys
a second wind in his
Brody,
career.
Like, even the Brody Crofts. Like, surely Paul Green has a desire to bring the next class through after making grand final last year without JT. Surely there's a little bit inside him that thinks, okay, I can really cement, his legacy's cemented, but I can really take it to that next level of being one of the best coaches of all time, or in that, not of all time, but, you know, one of the elite coaches by bringing the next crop through, bringing Tamaro Martin through. But at the moment, it just seems like he's money hungry. Like, it doesn't make sense why he wouldn't sign.
Well, he could do exactly what Craig Bellamy did for Melbourne, his opportunity to create the similar empire that Bellamy did at Melbourne.
Yeah, great segue through to speak about Brody Croft. Not a great start to the year, but he had massive shoes to fill. Are you surprised he was dropped by Craig Bellamy so early in the year, Chavis?
Look, the Storm were always willing to be patient with him, but from what we've seen so far this season, I think it's clear that they're lacking someone with an organisational ability, and Cameron Munster's a hell of a player, but you lose Cooper Cronk, and that's what I don't understand about everyone saying Melbourne are struggling. They've lost Cooper Cronk, they've lost Tohu Harris, they've lost Jordan McLean, and you've got a rookie in there, Brody Croft, directing a team with Cameron Smith and Billy Slater in there. Like, that must be pretty intimidating for anyone, let alone a kid who's only played a handful of games. So, look, why not tinker with it? Melbourne were always willing to see what works. Wiley Jacks is a steady player. They'd be aware that Brody Croft's their future, but do you run the risk of burning him? But the other sort of point to make is, have you burnt him by dropping the kid? Like, it's pretty hard to deal with.
Mm. Yeah, how do you think you deal with it, Chuck?
The reports this week, is it form or is it a bit of attitude as well?
Look, I heard there were some concerns around his attitude in the pre-season, but it's with Billy and Cameron at the club, that was squashed pretty quickly.
Look, when you're a young fella and you get dropped, like, I'd come into the Roosters off the back of three grand finals, so 02, 03, 04. Coming into a squad that's made three grand finals in a row, Fitler's just retired, had a heap of guys move on, and off the back of that, expected to come into a side and try and make another grand final. It just doesn't work like that. You know, you lose those quality players, those all-time greats, and sometimes you can't be that, because you want to be your own player, but that system's worked so long for that team that you've got to try and pull back and try and get in there. I think Brody Croft needed to pull back a little bit on some of his game and just fit into the system. Now, you've got to think that we don't want him to be Cooper Cronk. Yeah, we see the resemblance in the way some of his attributes and the way he plays, but I think he's overplaying his hand. He's really gone out there to try and say, I am better than Cooper Cronk. I can do what Cooper Cronk did for this side. We don't need you to be Cooper Cronk. We need you to be Brody Croft. We need you to be that competing little halfback that scored three tries against Newcastle last year, makes all these tackles, not too fussy, you know. And I think this dropping in this week shows that, look, we have other options if you're going to carry on attitude-wise or you're not going to be up to scratch. And one of the other options is, I think they move Cam Smith into halfback before the year's out.
I was going to ask you, what's the short-term solution for Melbourne?
It might be long-term. I think Cam Smith for this year might even play halfback, depending on how Riley Jacks goes. Now, Riley Jacks is a system player. Mm-hmm. Comes in, he's like a Blake Green mould, going to come in, kick, make his tackles, not going to, you know, blow the house down with all these trick plays that maybe Croft was doing. So I just think that organisation-wise, you look at guys like Kafusi and Hoffman on an edge, you could really see them getting a buzz out of having Cam Smith at seven, being able to organise. Billy gets the ball when he needs it, when he wants it. And you've got another kid in young Smith there as well that comes in, and he's obviously really positive in the way he plays. So I think that's a move they could look at.
Chad, I want to ask you, you're a confident person, and Brody Croft has got those sort of qualities where he's pretty confident in his own ability. Is it a risk you can be overconfident? Like, how do you juggle being confident in your own ability and not being arrogant in a system where it has worked for so long?
I'm misunderstood. I think sometimes I was misunderstood in that I was overconfident, but I was also insecure that I had to be overconfident to try and portray that, you know, come out, you're a halfback. So what, you know, I was taught at a young age that halfback runs the team. Well, sometimes when you're 20 and you come in and you haven't earned your respect of your teammates yet. You've got to come and put your body on the line. You've got to play 10 games, 15 games in a row where you're doing those things week out. You might not be the best player, but they need to be able to look back in times of tough and have that sort of confidence in you that you can make the right play at the right time. You can come up with the right decision. And I think that's Brody Croft is sort of jumping ahead in that sort of respect thing. And I did it at my career as well, but I was in and out. Like, I was off the bench, I was confused on how to get a real rhythm before I went to the Dragons, so my sort of misunderstanding and arrogance came off the field with media, which sort of portrayed back into the sheds a little bit. So I wasn't probably the best teammate my whole career, but I eventually knew what it took to win and build into that as a player.
Do you know if someone doesn't like you in a team? Like, do you know if someone's got an issue? I'm not saying specifically, but can you tell if there's an issue?
But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your teammates, not best mates. You know, like, if you're going to be best mates with everyone, then you can't call out someone in the sheds. You can't call out someone on the field. Your teammates. And, you know, at times, like I said, I wasn't probably everyone's cup of tea, but I live with that. I'm still not everyone's cup of tea. I accept that. But that's what makes me me. If I differed from that, I found myself, my form would dip. You know, if I wasn't up and being cheeky and confident and in and around training, that was how I got myself ready for a game. Now, sometimes it was selfish of me because it put other players off, but that's one thing that everyone should remember in watching some of these teams. And you talk about the bond and it's brothers and, you know, you fight for your mate, but they're all teammates. They're not all best mates, you know. So in a group, you might only have three or four best mates. But it's not like I'm catching up with Brett Morris every single day after footy, you know. You're in that environment. You have guys that your personality just goes to as a magnet, and you have other guys that doesn't.
How quickly does Brady Croft have to learn, though? You said you struggled with it when you came in. How quickly does he have to learn now to maybe pull it in a little bit, if that is the issue, get in there, do the hard yards, prove to everyone I'm here to do the hard yards as well as do the flashy stuff, and then maybe you grow in stature in the game?
Well, I think looking at the system and the culture that Melbourne have, it'd have to be a form thing first, off the back of probably some indifference pre-season training, you know, thinking I'm just going to walk in and play seven all year. You know, maybe they've just reminded him that, you know, we were here long before you came, we'll be here long after you finished playing, Brody. So it's important that he realises that he just gets to get back to reserve grade, do what he does best, and come back in. And, you know, Cameron and Billy, I'm sure, wouldn't expect him to be Cooper Cronk. They just want him to be competitive and do what he does best, which got him into first grade. So you realise that really, really quickly, and especially if you have two of the all-time greats.
Yeah, and Craig Bellamy, Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, in terms of mentors, you wouldn't find three better in the game unless you had a Jonathan Thurston in that mix. So if he's going to learn, he's going to learn off the best. Chambers touched on it. It is going to be hard to take that he's been dropped this week, but long term, do you think this will be better for him in the future? Will this make him a better player?
He's only played 10 or 12 games. No.
But there's not as much pressure on him, obviously, this week.
Yeah, I got dropped five, six times in my first 40 games. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But confidence, will he get a lot of confidence out of this if he plays good in Queensland Cup?
He's going to have a different confidence when he comes back, because he's going to have to play well and realise that it's not about him. And I'm sure he doesn't think that, but he's going to have to come in and do his job for the team. Now, they've been indifferent, the Storm, but it's just unfortunate. I mean, if they were 5-0, we wouldn't even be talking about him, even if he had played the way he's playing. But they're just struggling at the moment for points. They've brought in a guy that's a bit more of a game manager, and they're going to try a few things.
I think this is a bit of a headache for Craig Bellamy, because he's off contract at the end of the year, doesn't know whether he's going around again or not, but he has done so much for that club, and nothing will take away the legacy of that era they had there with the big three and a few others. But the kind of coach he is, he'll be wanting to make sure he leaves that place in a good shape. He wants to make sure that when Smith and Slater, obviously Cronk's gone, when they retire, that Melbourne just don't fall away. And I think same with Cameron. I think they'll stagger Billy's retirement this year, followed by Cameron the year after. And Bellamy will be eating away at him if he doesn't set up that club to have success for the next 5-10 years after he's gone.
Do you think he'll coach on beyond 2018?
Yeah.
Given that?
Yeah, I think he and Cameron will go one more year and that'll be it.
Okay. All right, well, let's hope Brady Croft does bounce back, because we saw last year in clutch moments that he's a pretty good player. Mm. Didn't have a lot of pressure on him, but maybe this year teams are getting onto him a little bit quicker, and the fact that he's got the pressure of number 7 filling Cooper Cronk's jersey and shoes is a bit much. But we hope to see him back in the NRL sooner rather than later. 5 weeks in, the ladder. You can basically turn it upside down. A lot of people had Parramatta as a real threat for this year. So the Dragons, Warriors are on top. Panthers, West Tigers round out the top four. Roosters, Titans, Knights, Seagulls. Then we've got the Storm in 9th. Rabbitohs, Sharks in 11th. Broncos, Raiders, Cowboys, Bulldogs, Eels.
Do you remember the bottom four last year? Do you remember how the bottom
Well, four? So, just on that, last year, five teams that were in the eight are out: the Storm, the Broncos, Eels, Sharks and Cowboys. And five teams that were outside: the Dragons, Warriors, Titans, Knights and Tigers.
Wow. Yeah, I think those four teams were the bottom four as well. Like, they were 13th and 16th respectively. Yep. So I'm surprised by the Tigers. I didn't think they recruited well enough to do what they have done. The Warriors, everyone just gave up on this year. They had a good team, but everyone expected them to follow suit. So they are doing what we expect them to do the last 3 or 4 years. The Titans, they'll be patchy. They've got a young side, new coach. They've probably exceeded expectation. And then the Dragons, well, they're the real deal. They're the ones I look at and think, you know what, they can win a comp this year.
Yeah, well, you look at those. I mean, you're right. The Tigers, for me, I like their recruitment, the Tigers.
You say pre-season you thought it was the best recruitment of any
side?
I found that. At the time, I thought, wow, that's a bold call.
Yeah.
Purely because I didn't know how Josh Reynolds would fit in alongside Luke Brooks. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Even Benji Marshall coming back to the club. Russell Packer coming in, we knew was great in the past. Even Ben Matalino, he'd been broken down for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I found it a bold call, but they're living up to the hype.
Well, they are, and they've got competitors. The thing I liked about Josh Reynolds, before this was before Benji, we knew how Benji was going to play, is he's a competitor. And you've got two big guys up front in Packer and Matalino who've just laid a platform, and Luke Brooks doesn't have the pressure of, he doesn't have to pass the ball to Moses, he doesn't have to get it to Tedesco, and he doesn't have, you know, Woods and Farrah who've been there forever, you know, pretty much controlling where the team goes. So Brooks has been able to go out there and play. He's in career best form. He's what we thought he was probably a couple of years ago. And then he's got those two big guys protecting him on an edge. You've got Lawrence, and then they've got workers everywhere. I mean, they've won these games without their hardest worker in Elijah Taylor,
yeah,
their most competitive player in Josh Reynolds. So they come back into the side, and they're just defending. It's easier to build your comp winning off defence early on in the sort of first eight rounds than it is, you know, like the Raiders scoring 30 points and getting beaten. For me, down the bottom, I'm really concerned about a couple of sides. I'm really concerned about the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so of those sides down the bottom, the Raiders, Cowboys, Bulldogs, Eels, even the Sharks and the Storm, but which of those sides is in the most trouble in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of... So the Tigers, for me, are the real deal.
Yep.
The Dragons are the real deal. The Warriors, yeah, at the moment, they've beaten who they've played.
Yep.
I want to see them do it consistently, and I'm really worried about the Warriors if they have to come to Australia 2 weeks in a row to win a grand final. You know, the travel, the grand final breakfast, it's a hectic week. You know, you have a lot of commitments and a lot, you know, the weight of a nation really is weighing on you. So I think that the Storm and that climb back in and we do see some parity come or some normality come back into the competition. I'm really worried for the Bulldogs. I saw some really bad signs last week. They've got a forward pack that's three, you know, rep players. They've got two current Australian forwards, front rowers, and they just don't look like they're going to score any points. They look like the Dogs last year. They are really struggling. They're too deep in attack. I think that at the three-quarter mark of this year, if they're last or second last, that they should hand the keys to the car for Marshall King for the last quarter of the year and see how he goes directing the team around.
Is that purely to take pressure off Kieran Foran?
Foz doesn't have any pressure.
He's on big money.
He's on big money, but did anyone have him playing in grand final this year?
Well, you'll tell Foz take a back seat. Jeremy's running the show.
I just think Foz goes back to six and just let him just go out the second receiver and rather than be first receiver. And some people say it's a number, but it plays different tricks on people that wear the number. You know, when I played seven, I didn't change my game because I knew I was a six that just wore seven that week. But sometimes getting the ball at first receiver changes the way you play. Now, Kieran Foran's not the Kieran Foran that we knew.
And never will be.
And never will be. And we accept that. He's still a great player. But I just think that Marshall King could be the future and they look towards maybe, you know, back into the year, seeing how he goes into seven and let the team run around him and have Foz take a little bit of a back seat and let him organise the backs.
Jack Cogger's arriving next year.
Yeah.
From the Knights. Are you worried about their half situation, Chalmers?
I'm worried about the club in general, to be honest, Zach. Like you, the Canberra Raiders and the Canterbury Bulldogs have got very little room to move in terms of salary cap. What they've got is what they have for the next 2 years, essentially. The Bulldogs are an awful mess. I think you can criticise their recruitment over the years because they were in desperate need of some attacking strike power. Now, they added Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran to that roster. They had an opportunity to get a quality fullback, some outside backs, but they've gone with Aaron Woods. And to be honest, and look, Aaron Woods is a good player, but I don't think you gain that much by losing James Graham for Aaron Woods. So I didn't understand that signing to begin with. And it's no disrespect to Aaron Woods because as I said, he's a good signing for someone else, but the Bulldogs didn't need what they got from him. They needed something else. And Kieran Foran, and look, they paid top dollar for a player who's never going to be a top player again. Like, he's good and he can control a game, but he's not the Kieran Foran that won a comp at Manly, and he never will be.
So you agree with Sowie that you're most worried about the Bulldogs of any team there at the bottom?
I don't see any success for a while there, unfortunately.
It's tough. Tough going when you're a player in that environment thinking, you know, what next? If it's all going against you, if it's not clicking. I spoke to Kieran Foran a couple of days ago and he said, we're just trying to work to our game plan. Well, I just was gobsmacked by that. How can it not be clicking 5 weeks in?
Yeah, well, this...
It's almost like they're confused about how they're playing.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, it's not clicking 5 weeks in, but the Cowboys have got enough runs on the board to be able to say, well, you know, they could easily go on a run and make the eight, and they still will make the eight, I feel. Mm. They'll need to get some wins soon, but the competition's changed this year, boys. Like, there's no origin period where you play the Storm with no Slater, no Smith, no, you know, like, everyone's going to be full strength the rest of the year, so... The competition gets away from you pretty quickly when you're playing. You look at the Dragons, they've banked 10 points. The Warriors have banked 10. You only probably need 24 to get into the eight this year, I'd say. 24 to 26.
Yeah, 26, yeah, I reckon, yeah.
So these teams that are banking wins now, the Tigers, they're building it off trust and defence for each other. I mean, you look at the Dogs, take the attack out of it. Like, they just don't look like they trust each other in really tough times. Like, last week, they let in some really simple tries just through kicks, and it looked like they didn't know, they weren't talking to each other, and then they score a try at the end to sort of make it a little bit respectable, but they had all the ball. But it's just too deep, you know, like, it's worrying. The Raiders are the same for me. I don't know how you score 56 points and let in 60 the first 2 weeks. That's almost impossible. And then when your season's pretty much on the line, you lose, you know, by a point. You lose 3 games, 5 points. Ricky Stewart... Like, yeah.
I don't know how he has any hair left.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But then they put in an effort like last week. But they haven't really sorted out their Haas problems. Like, Caesar comes back in this week.
Austin, sorry.
Caesar and Austin back in this week. Caesar's been playing dummy half to start the year.
Yeah.
Then has one good game at halfback. So he'll be halfback for a month until Sam Williams comes back. Then it looks like Sam Williams will come back in and Blake Austin, who wants out. You know, like... It's confusing to me where the Raiders... I'm with Chamis. I mean, the Raiders and Bulldogs, you know, like, this Raiders side was near a grand final 2 years ago. I don't understand what's happened.
Mm. Another side where they're last at the moment, Parramatta. You sat down with Brad Arthur at the start of the week. What do you make of their situation, Chamis? What did he say to you that... did anything shock you?
No, look, he made a valid point. They've lost 3 games this year by scoring the same amount of tries as the opposition team, but lost on penalty goals. So we could be sitting here with... look, they're not the Parramatta team of last year, but they're not as bad as the latter suggests. Now, they're the sort of team that can go on a run. They welcome back Clint Gutherson this week, and, you know, everyone will hope he's a saviour, but it's going to take some time. Bevan French is back, Kane Evans is back, Hayne hopefully the week after. I still think they'll get on a run and sneak into the eight. Brad Arthur's trying something a bit different this week. He's taking them down to the nation's capital on Thursday, 2 days before the game, spend a couple of nights down there, a bit of bonding, spend some time at the hotel, some dinner every night.
Can I go with? Jeez, how good's this?
They need to do something different because at the moment they look like a team that's not only not playing well, but they look disgruntled with each other. And
does that work?
Showing in their halves, and you know, they're especially Mitchell Moses is an emotional player. And whatever was working last year is not working with Corey Norman this year. And Brad Arthur knows that. He's spoken to the players about what's going on to make sure there actually isn't an issue. And they're telling him there's nothing wrong. It's simple as that. It's just not working for him. And it's a surprise because we went to Maitland for the preseason trial and I sat there and thought I was watching the 2018 Premiers. That was so good in a trial.
Yeah, well, you weren't the only one. I mean, a lot of tipsters, myself included, had them as a smoky to make a grand final and possibly win it. Off the back of last year, and we've proved by the ladder at the moment that everyone's eight's been tipped on its head. I look at the Parramatta side and I just wonder that if we're all sitting in the dressing room and we've all played bad, who's the one guy, like, who's the James Graham that they look to that can call you out, that's empty the tank no matter what, you know, that can go, look, boys, that wasn't good enough. Where do we go from here? Like, I feel like
Nathan Brown tried to be that on the weekend.
Yeah, but that's not. He's actions guy. Yeah. He's not a in the sheds, you know. And
going to give you that rev up that you need. That
sometimes you, your actions, and I get that, you know, like you're an actions guy. And but I just look in that shed, in that team at the moment, and look, Clint Gutherson's my favourite player. I can't wait to watch him play this weekend. But I don't agree that they'll go on a run. I think they missed the eight. They've missed the boat this year. They're 0-5, potentially 0-6. It's a big, big hole. No one, I think the 99 Broncos were the last side to go 0-5 and make the eight. So, and they scraped in at eight. So the Eels have got some off-season recruiting to do. I don't know how much room they have in the cap. I think they'll be in the market for a big bopper or two. Their backline seems set. The big question is, you know, do they chalk this season down to bad luck with injuries and a rough start and re-sign Jared Hayne, or do they let him walk and potentially go in a different direction?
Oh, it's too soon for that. Like, Jared has the potential.
Well, they're going to have to make a decision soon.
No, because no one wants him. No one wants him. Who's going to put their hand up
to Jared Hayne $500,000? They just let it go? And
well, they've got money to spend in this year's cap, so next year they'll have money to spend as well. So that there's... The only one that they're looking at that really needs to be extended is Clint Gutherson. They're going to have to give him a long-term deal and pay him a lot more money than what he's on now. I think he's on about $370,000 to $400,000 a year.
Oh, what a steal.
Yeah. So,
but at the time, no, what, 4 years ago, when he saw 3 years ago, no one thought he'd be the best player in the game.
One of
the
best players in the game.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
Well, even with Newcastle, Callum Ponga, he's on what, $3 million over 5 years, and that's going to be looking like nothing in 5 years' time. So
let's hope he has a clause in his contract saying if I play Origin, I get an extra $200,000 a year.
I'm sure he does. But like Tony Williams, like, he's on minimum wage, $90,000, $100,000. And to be honest, I thought he was one of their better forwards outside Nathan Brown last week. So it goes to show that, unfortunately for Parramatta, their forwards at the moment aren't doing. Brad doesn't want to blame them, but I think deep down you'll find the Eels are trying to find the solution there.
Let's wrap this up, Sally. I think at the start of the year you had the Storm, the Roosters, the Sharks and
Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Three of your top four sides are out of the eight. Mm. What's your top four now for the end of the year?
Dragons.
Yep. I think they're going to hang on.
They'll kick on, yeah.
Yep.
I think the Warriors.
Wow. Where did you have the Warriors at the start of the year?
15.
Yep.
The Panthers, I think, are the real deal.
Yep.
And the Roosters.
Okay.
I think the Tigers drop out.
And what about the bottom end?
I've got the Raiders. I've got the Raiders. I've got Manly.
Manly?
Manly going to drop?
I've got Parramatta and the Bulldogs.
So Parramatta and the Dogs are going to stay in the bottom four?
Yeah. Oh, Manly, away from home. I mean,
well, back,
Jekyll and Hyde. They're back at Brookie.
Yeah, they've won seven straight at Brookie.
Yeah, I know they can win 50 straight at Brookie, but away from home, they look completely different.
Yeah, they do.
That's another topic for another week. Let's see how they go this weekend against the Tigers, the brick wall defence of the Tigers. Question time. This one is from Crypto Tiger 1. Sowie, when will expansion happen? I know you're not Todd Greenberg, but when do you think it should happen? Peter Beattie's come out, the new ARLC chairman, and said that it's on the radar now.
Yeah. I think 2022, maybe, a bit later. Okay. I worry about expansion, about depth. You know, I worry about like a real... If you do expansion, you've got to come into the competition. You've got to be successful in the first 2 or 3 years. I mean, look at GWS and how successful they've been in the AFL.
But they weren't even successful the first few years. They took a long time. They only made the eight after, what, 4 or 5 seasons. So I think we saw the Wanderers. Like, you're a Wanderers tragic, Jamie. Like,
Can I finish?
Come on, finish your sentence.
You guys have gone this whole podcast
Don't
without
rush
having
me.
A tiff.
Well, mate, he gave false information. I was trying to help the bloke out, that's all.
Mate, I said that the GWS have finally, if you let me finish, have Go finally been successful.
Oh, okay.
But they did it right in turn. But we don't have a draft system. We don't have, it's not like Western Reds or West Australia are going to get a Cam Smith go over there and have multiple picks. Like, you've got to do it right.
Yeah.
And they have been successful the last couple of years, and they are going to be successful, GWS, because they've proven themselves. Look at the Gold Coast Suns. Do you want a team to come in and be like the Gold Coast Suns, where they're the whipping boy of the NRL?
What's success measured on? Because the success of the GWS Giants on the field is not reflecting off the field. They're not getting the numbers.
Success is measured in crowd. Success is measured in winning.
success measured in membership, sponsorships, all that kind of stuff. Or you need to have a platform for it.
100%.
And who has a platform at the moment?
No, well, I agree with you in terms
of expansion.
That's what
I said, 5 years.
Okay, so and who? Where?
Probably Perth.
Perth, yeah, I agree.
Perth, great. All right, let's move on. Jamie Daniels, how can the Cowboys improve this weekend, Jamie?
Michael Morgan to fullback, Tamari Martin to six. That guarantees them a win.
Like it? Don't like it?
I like it, yeah.
Chamis?
Definitely.
Jove Kostrewski, hopefully I got that right. What will the New South Wales Origin squad look like? Any bolters? Sowie, come on, something.
You'll have to wait and see on Inside the NRL. In a couple of Mondays I'll reveal my team, but up until then.
When can we earmark your team being announced?
Probably 2 weeks. When's the first game?
Start
8 weeks today, yeah, June 6th, yeah. Melbourne.
You'll have it 2 weeks before then.
That's a while away.
I'll tell you what, I think Freddie's a big fan of a couple of players. I think Freddie will look at Latrell Mitchell. I think he's a big, big chance.
Yep.
And
also hearing Tom Trbojevic, he's a big fan at one, potentially against Tedesco, but that's a huge battle. Jake Trbojevic, he likes RP Coruscant as well.
Yeah, and Manly, also Ewan Aiken has put his hand up as well with what he did to GI on the weekend.
Oh no, if you think the
are you serious?
If
he's
we think
playing good.
No, I don't think Ewan Aiken should be picked, but I'm just
he's
saying
he's playing good, but I mean GI. Don't get me started.
All right, and the last one. This is from Alan Lowe, or Low Allen. Who will win the 2018 Premiership, Sally?
Oh, mate, I'm sticking with the Cowboys.
Oh, bold call. All right, it is tip time. Round six kicks off, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. Who are we going with, guys?
I'm going with Roosters.
Roosters.
Roosters all round. I've gone Roosters as well. And we've got Melbourne Storm and the Knights on Friday night, early game.
Melbourne.
Yeah, I think the Storm as well.
Both. Dragons, Sharks.
Sharks for me.
Dragons in Wollongong.
Okay, why the Sharks, quickly?
Oh, I just think that they might have a bit of a game to upset the Dragons. And Moylan back at fullback, I like that move.
Yeah, I'm going with the Dragons. Just
because you are one of the Illawarra Mercury's finest.
Yes, and a big Jamie Soward fan. I love that photo I saw with Widdop. Name Dragons fans jersey.
We've gone 40-odd minutes without a sledge.
This is why I didn't want him on the show, because he turns it into a personal attack. You know, we've been good 4 weeks in a row, Zach, and now it's turned into the comedy hour with Michael Chamis.
All right, what about the Warriors and the Broncos?
Oh, I like the Warriors for me. Yeah. Too good at home.
And the Cowboys Bulldogs, Cowboys going to bounce back?
Yeah, big way.
Oh, mate, the Bulldogs, they could...
They're in all sorts.
Massive score, yeah.
JT special, let's hope. Raiders, Eels.
Raiders for me. I can't tip the Eels. I think Gutherson will need time.
Nah, disagree. I think the Eels are back. This is the start of a run. I think the Raiders will finish with the spoon. That was my tip before the season. I think they'll still head that
Who's
way.
Who's in your ear from the Eels at the moment? You're their number one fan.
I like the Eels. I think they'll come good.
Okay. All right, you've been saying that for 6 weeks.
I think they've got too much class to still be there. I look at that team and think that's...
Sunday, Arvo footy, Panthers, Titans, Cartwright and Garth Brennan return to the foot of the mountains. They're going to have an enjoyable day, shall we?
I don't think so. The Panthers for me, but I don't think it'll be as widespread as what the tipsters will think. Titans really played well last weekend. I like the way they're playing.
Yeah, Penrith too strong. But, yeah, Garth knows all the strengths and weaknesses of everyone on that team, so it won't be a blowout.
All right, we're all going Panthers there. And Manly Tigers. Tigers haven't won at Lotto Land since April 6, 2003. Benji Marshall hadn't even debuted there. So...
We continue to tip against the Tigers, and we're going to do it again this week, but they are just unbelievable. I'm going to take Manly, but not with any great confidence.
I disagree. Tigers keep going. I just hope for Josh Reynolds' sake they don't lose, because if they lose, he comes back. It's going to look like he's the one that's unsettled them.
It's not at all. How is it?
He's a class player, mate.
They've lost Russell Packer. That's a huge...
It is a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah, and he replaces Little Starts, who's an absolute superstar, future Origin player, I hope. And Reynolds just comes off the bench. It's not like he comes into an important halfback spot.
I don't know. I don't think the team that Ivan named 1-13 is going to be the starting side.
Well, give us a scoop.
No, I don't have the scoop. I just was told that there's going to be.
Okay. So he's got his sources, but he's too afraid to reveal the news on this podcast. All right, I'm going with Manly. Hopefully, be down there on the hill cheering on the mighty maroon and white. Jamie, remind our listeners what they've got to do each week.
Yeah, you can download our podcast on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you can get our podcast. Download it, subscribe, write, review, ask questions. Any questions you've got, we'll answer every week. We'll try and get to them best we can.
And also, while you're there, rate Michael Chamis's performance out of 10.
Bring
if it's less than 5, he's back to interest.
You know what?
Premiership.
I'll start a poll on my Twitter when this podcast goes out. Should Michael be back for next week? And I'll go to the bosses, and if it's a yes, we'll have him back. If not, then we'll punt him for the year.
You'll get Michael who? That's going to be the most common reply at the moment.
Well, I'll write Michael Chamis, Google him.
That's exactly right. And you'll still get the same reply.
There'll be a nice photo of Michael back in the day with a nice long fringe 10 years ago. Also, we're not the only podcasters for NRL.com. There's a podcast with Joel Gould and Steve Renoff that goes out every Wednesday, so make sure you tune into that.
Also and goes off.
goes off. Also, the NRL Fantasy podcast, Chris Kennedy, Don Brock, and the 161 NRL game speedster, top 5 Melbourne wingers of all time, and the self-appointed GI speed bump. I thought you had that title, Jamie. Of course, we're talking of Steve Turner. He said, make sure we sledge him on air. Thanks very much for tuning in this week. Make sure you tune in next week to see if Michael Chamis returns.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Thanks for looking after me, mate.
Speak to you next week.